On this week's program, as the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia begins its new season, we speak with Dirk Brosse, the ensemble's new music director. And we speak with Tina Betts, co-founding producer of Wilmington, Delaware's Fringe Festival. That's all I have this morning, creatively speaking.
Support for Creatively Speaking comes from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts and the listeners of WRTI.
And alongside me this morning is Susan Lewis.
Good morning.
As we continue our fall member drive, our job is to build awareness of what WRTI means to you. But when you find yourself sitting in the car until a symphony by Beethoven comes to a powerful conclusion, when you discover that you've lost track of time because a magical musical moment has briefly captured your soul, well, the music has done our job for us. And that's when the responsibility actually becomes yours. So what we're asking you to do on this Saturday morning is to think about what WRTI means to you and to put an actual financial value on that. We don't ask you to do that often, but we would really right now like you to either go to the web, wrti.org, or make a call, 1-866-809-9784, and make a financial gift to WRTI.
You come to WRTI for great music. Our fun drive is the time where we ask you to stop and reflect on what that means to you. People generally support the things they value. We hope this is an easy decision. You listen and you depend on us. Well, now we depend on you. Because you love the music you hear on WRTI, because you love this arts programming, we're asking you to show your support with your pledge today. This hour, become more than a listener. Pledge your support and become a member of WRTI. Your contribution will make a difference, and it's easy to do. WRTI.org is the website, or you can call 1-866-809-9784. That's 1-866-809-9784.
Is WRTI your favorite radio station? Think of the many locations you listen to WRTI in. Maybe it's on your bedside radio. Maybe it's the first preset. Maybe it's the only preset on your car radio. When you turn on the radio in the kitchen, what comes on? Chances are, if you're listening now, it is WRTI. So please choose to support now by making your pledge online. Every day you choose to listen to WRTI, and it is there because of listener support. It's a lot like maybe your workout routine, your favorite coffee. Before long, they become so much a part of your life, it's hard to imagine them not being there. Well, WRTI is here because of listener support, because someone like you one morning decided that it was time for them to make the leap from mere listener to active member. And that's what we want you to do now. Pick up the phone, make a call, 1-866-809-9784, 1-866-809-9784. We can thank you with a number of different gifts. Ask the operator, or you can go to our website and see pictures, see images of those gifts at WRTI.org. It makes little difference how you choose to support us. The main thing is that you do decide to support us. And when we say us, we mean the tens of thousands of members, past and present, who have helped keep WRTI strong through their support. Make the call. 1-866-809-9784 or online at WRTI.org.
Some listeners don't support WRTI because they think the amount they could give would be just too small to make a difference. Contributions really do matter at any level, and here's why. Listeners provide WRTI's largest and most reliable source of funding, almost half of our overall funding this year. Listener support, not federal tax dollars, makes up WRTI's largest and most reliable source of funding. So you really can make a difference at whatever level you choose. There are two ways to pledge, online at WRTI.org or by phone by calling 1-866-809-9784. That's 1-866-809-9784.
You're listening to Creatively Speaking on WRTI.
The Belgian composer and conductor Dirk Brasse conducts his first concerts as music director of the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia in a series of four performances beginning this evening at the Mann Center. Although he's never previously held an orchestra music director position, he has guest conducted many significant ensembles, including the London Philharmonic Orchestra, the London Symphony Orchestra, the Rotterdam Philharmonic, and the national orchestras of Venezuela, Colombia, and Ecuador. Prior to becoming its music director, Brasse had conducted the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia on three occasions: in 2007 for a recording of a Tchaikovsky score for an animated Tom and Jerry video, last year for a chamber version of Mahler's Das Lied von der Erde, and in a Scandinavian program last October. He has since led the ensemble in concerts at Temple's Baptist Temple. As a composer, Dirk Brasse has created more than 200 works, including symphonies and concertos, as well as music for film and theatre. I met with Dirk Brasse earlier this week. Do you presume to have the confidence of the musicians who are in front of you, or is that something that you have to win over a period of time?
You have to win. You have to win this. I had a very good relationship with the musicians so far, but I mean, I've been here four or five times. So, and after each concert, the musicians have to fill out a form, a questionnaire about the conductor. So I presume it was not too bad. Otherwise, I would not be here. And it's I'm a very open man. Everything should be and could be discussed. If there is an issue, I'm very open to talk about it. And I'm also a very honest musician. I'm very honest in all possible ways. I mean, I have no hidden agenda. I only have one agenda, and it's the man I see every day in the mirror when I get up, sometimes too early in the morning, or when I go to bed during the night.
What's your communication technique with the orchestra? Do you do a lot of talking, or is it all about baton technique? How are you giving these ideas to the musicians?
I've played in orchestras for many years. I was a trumpet player. I started my career in the opera orchestra. And if there is something that musicians hate all over the world, it's a conductor coming in front of the orchestra and talking. It's all about playing. I don't want to spend my time talking, because I don't have the time to talk. Of course, I give them information, but and I talk about the music, and I talk about how it should sound. So some conductors really talk. I think it's important to play, because at the end we have to perform the music. My rehearsal technique is, of course, everything comes from the baton and from nonverbal communication with the eyes and with the body. And I'm constantly in contact with everybody, not only with the principal melody or with the bass lines, but also with the inner voices, also with the harmony, with the timpani, with the brass. So I'm constantly in eye and ear contact with those people and making a balance on the stage without talking. And my rehearsal technique, as far as I can talk about it, is that, first of all, we play a piece of music from the beginning to the end. I don't interrupt the musicians, because it's very unpolite, in a way, to stop an orchestra playing. Leonard Bernstein, he said, never disturb an orchestra, never disturb an orchestra. And even if you detect a mistake, don't stop. Just put in your brain, put in your mind what went wrong, but at least give them the opportunity to play from the beginning to the end, so they have the full scope of the music. And then you can go back and you can say, well, I think this bar, this and this and this and this, and let's do it again.
Is this an ensemble, or is it a group of individuals, and what will your relationships be?
I think sometimes it's a group of musicians and sometimes it's an ensemble.
Does that then involve one-on-one relationships with the individual musicians offstage?
Definitely. Absolutely. I want to have a conversation with every individual.
But is that a friendly conversation, or is that the boss talking to one of the employees?
I know I'm the boss, but I will never show off with this, no. I mean, it's a collaboration. And a collaboration, I'm a musician, I'm one of them. But I'm in the position being a boss because of the structure of the organization. But when I'm on the floor with the musicians, I am one of them, because I have the same problems as they have. I have a piece of music in front of me. What shall we do with it? And it's not because I'm a conductor that I know better or I should know more about it. I just have a different training and I have the overall view. But in fact, we face the same problems. What shall we do with this piece of music? So it's also about communication. And I want to have a communication and a conversation with each individual. Maybe with the strings as in a group. And I know that my organization will give me the time frame to work with them, to work on the sound, to talk about it. So I will definitely have a conversation with the concertmaster and the leader of each group.
You talk about being given enough time to
achieve all of these things in rehearsal. Many European conductors come to the United States and complain about the lack of rehearsal times. Is that going to be an issue with the chamber orchestra?
Not for the moment. Of course, we always need more rehearsals. This is true. But it's not because you have more rehearsals than that the end result is better. The only thing that changed over the years is there used to be a time when musicians came to the orchestra to prepare a concert and they saw the music for the first time. So homework, the word homework didn't exist. They were reading the parts for the first time during the rehearsal. Second rehearsal was a bit better. So after 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rehearsals, it was okay.
But they were actually just learning the piece.
They were learning the piece, exactly. Then there was another example. Chili Bidaki, for example, the great German conductor, he had to play a Beethoven symphony 12 rehearsals in Munich to discuss about each detail, each phrase, each breath, each articulation. He talked about everything into detail. Nowadays, it doesn't exist anymore. Now, if you go to the first rehearsal, you're supposed to have done your homework. So you know your part perfectly. You know the fingering, the bowing, and then you come to the first rehearsal, and that means the first run-through is already at the highest level. So I have written a fanfare for Philadelphia, which we sight-readed during my first rehearsal when I was here. And I was blown away, to be honest. And it's not an easy piece. I'm like, wow, cool. I was very happy with it, that they took the effort to look at it at home. And it should be like that all the time. And there I'm a very friendly man, but I will be very tough. If somebody is not prepared, including myself, then they and myself will have a hard time.
Dirk Brasse. He begins his tenure as music director of the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia when he conducts Mozart and Chopin at the Mann Center this evening, the Kimmel Center's Perelman Theater tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 and on Monday evening at 7:30, and at the Baptist Temple at Temple University on Tuesday evening.
And Dirk Brasse was talking about an orchestra as being both an ensemble and a group of individuals. WRTI listeners are also individuals, but during this fund drive, we are acting as an ensemble. Together, we can do more than any of us can do individually. And it really does take a community of listeners to support the music and programming you hear on WRTI. But it happens one listener at a time, one moment at a time. We're asking you to make this your moment. Pick up the phone and call 1-866-809-9784 to pledge your support for the music and programming you hear on WRTI.
You really do count on WRTI for classical music, for jazz music, for all the other types of programming we bring to you. You tune in every day. Well, here's some good news. This station is here for the long haul, and today we're asking you to let us know that you're there for the long haul also. Here's how it works. Your membership contribution is deducted on a monthly basis from your credit card. It's as simple as that. That means that your membership is always active. You can stop or change at any time, increase or decrease the amount whenever you choose. Makes your support more powerful. It makes it enduring. We're asking you today to become a WRTI sustaining member by picking up the phone and making a call. 1-866-809-9784. 1-866-809-9784. Choose the level that's right for you. It might be $10, $15, $20, maybe even $30 or $40 a month. Decide what you can afford. You can afford something. Make the call, 1-866-809-9784. Call now and make your pledge, or you can go online, wrti.org. It takes but a couple of minutes, but the result for WRTI will be that the programming you appreciate, that you love, that you depend on, will be there for another year because of your commitment, because of your call, because of your pledge online.
We sincerely hope that the music and programming on WRTI does make a difference in your everyday life. But you know what it means to you. Have you ever thought about what a difference you can make to WRTI? By making a gift, regardless of the amount, you can make a difference in what you hear and look forward to every day. Because listener support, again, is the most important source of funding that makes the music you love, the programming you love on WRTI possible. So please, now's a great time to do your part by contributing any amount that you choose today. And if you want to become a sustaining member, that will make it easy for you and easy for us to continue to provide this programming year after year.
1-866-809-9784, online at WRTI. What are you buying into when you make that call, when you make that pledge? What you're doing is you're becoming a member of an organization that brings you music that stops your heart, music that lights up your day, music that always encourages you to see the best side of things. WRTI is the only place where you find that music, and you find it there because of listener support. 1-866-809-9784. Make the call, make the difference, or you can make your contribution online at wrti.org. You can hear the commitment of members in action every day, every time you turn on WRTI. More than half of WRTI's funding comes from listener members. We'd like you to join that group of people who make classical and jazz music available on the radio. 1-866-809-9784 or online at wrti.org.
You can really make a big difference. Contributing to WRTI makes a big difference in the quality of what comes out of the radio, but it actually is not a big deal to make a contribution. If you've never done it before, here's how it works. When you call 1-866-809-9784 or go online at wrti.org, we'll ask your name, address, phone number, email address, and how much you'd like to give. We'll ask you how you'd like to pay, with a credit card or direct billing. And if you'd like one of our thank you gifts, we can help you with that too. It's very easy. It's very quick. You can make a difference in just a few minutes and get it off your list of things to do today. Call right now, 1-866-809-9784, or go online at WRTI.org.
Beginning Wednesday, the second annual Fringe Wilmington Festival gets underway. Unlike the much longer established Great Sprawling Festival up I-95 in Philadelphia, Delaware's five-day celebration of unconventional and experimental art is fully curated and features more than 80 individual performances at just 12 different venues. These include many non-traditional performance spaces, like vacant storefronts and vacant lots along Market Street, as well as more typical venues such as the Baby Grand, Theatre N at Namur, and Opera Delaware's Black Box Theatre and Studio. The Wilmington Fringe was established a year ago and continues to be run by Rich Newman, an Assistant Communications Director for the City of Wilmington, and Tina Betts, the Director of the Mayor's Office of Cultural Affairs. I spoke with Tina Betts in the Mayor's Office in Wilmington.
You've had some remarkable successes here. I guess the one most familiar to our audience would be the annual Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. Why take on a Fringe Festival? It's a rather risky endeavour.
Well, you know, it didn't feel risky when we thought about it. And the success of last year bore that out. I mean, it simply was something that felt like it needed to be done here in the city of Wilmington. Wilmington was ready for this type of art.
The problems that other nascent fringe festivals have had is that it's anybody can show up and do the performance on the street or any venue that they can find. Philadelphia sought to resolve this a couple of years ago by curating some of the acts so that if you really wanted to be sure that you were going to see something of quality, you would go to the Live Arts Festival. Have you had any thoughts on quality control?
Well, you know, our thoughts haven't been so much on quality control as it is on melding with our creative vision of the Fringe Festival. It needed to be experimental and unconventional. Quality, we believe, is in the eye of the beholder. So we do curate our Fringe Festival, but it's not for our own artistic judgment. It has to do with how creatively presented the application is.
And ultimately, the audience judges.
I think that that's the way art should be. I think that when you have a person or a group of people making decisions about what's good and what's bad in the arts, you don't have the type of risk-taking that I think helps art survive and sustain. You know, art that is genius, that has survived for hundreds of years, sometimes wasn't accepted by
most
by
it,
critics.
Probably,
exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's become what we call classic now. So it's not for us to judge the quality.
Talk to me about the numbers. Clifford Brown attracts tens of thousands of people. The Fringe is in the thousands?
Yeah, last year we had a couple of thousand people come out for the Fringe Festival, and that was a huge success because it was something different. You know, we did have to spend some time educating people about what a Fringe Festival was. So it was not only were we charged with making the festival happen, but we also needed to raise awareness about the festival. We had to even overcome some perceptions about what a Fringe Festival is. There were some people who had had some very different ideas. And we needed to help them understand that it is a multidisciplinary arts festival. It is about the art. It is not necessarily about freaky and weird, although, you know, it can be that. That's okay. That's okay. But it's not just about that. It's about making art and making new art, art that you only have an opportunity to experience within a fringe festival.
The mothership of all fringe festivals, of course, takes place in Edinburgh, which is the second city in Scotland and probably the seventh city in Britain. It was ideally placed because, frankly, there wasn't much competition in the town at that time of summer. It mightn't have worked in London, it mightn't have worked in Birmingham. In the same way that Wilmington is a smaller venue than, say, Philadelphia or, say, New York, which, you know, already have their fringe festivals, to what extent do you think you have a, so to speak, competitive advantage by being a smaller city and a very walkable city?
Well, you know, we don't necessarily see ourselves as competitors. It's a little bit of a different animal because Wilmington is not Philadelphia and it is not New York. So when you come to the Fringe Festival in Wilmington, the environment will be a little bit different. It's an urban area, but it is not that big metropolitan feel that you have in a New York or Philadelphia. So the experience will be a little bit different. We're a lot less complicated than the bigger cities. And people will find that we are a lot easier to navigate.
I was just going to ask you about that because That's one of the big problems of New York and Philadelphia. There's so much, people are afraid of it. They don't know where to start. How much easier or how indeed does one navigate the Wilmington Fringe Festival?
Well, there are fewer distractions, first of all. And so when the Fringe Festival is happening in Wilmington, it's not difficult to know where it's happening. Our venues are along our main street, Market Street, and also down at our riverfront. So it's very easy to get from one place to the other. You can actually walk from the two venues that are the furthest distance from each other. It's a very easy walk. It's not a walk that people make a lot, but you can walk it very easily. So I think that's what the difference is.
Where will the Fringe be in 5 years? What's the big end game?
Well, there are some things that we hope that will be different. We hope that there will be more people who will appreciate it. There are some things that we hope won't be different. We hope that it will continue to be viewed as something that is a choice that is outside of the box. The one thing that we don't want to have happen to the Fringe Festival is to have it become conventional and traditional and non-experimental. We always want it to be new and fresh so that every year when people come, they won't know what it is to expect. They only know that they'll expect something that will be exciting and provocative and thought-provoking and keep them talking for a long time after the festival is over.
And does it have the potential to equal the achievements of Clifford Brown, do you think?
We think so. There is absolutely no reason that a fringe festival that is multidisciplinary, covering all three major genres of the arts, cinema, visual, and performance, shouldn't survive a quarter century from now also.
Tina Betts, the director of the Mayor's Office of Cultural Affairs for the City of Wilmington and co-director of Fringe Wilmington Festival. The festival begins on Wednesday evening with an opening night artist's reception at the Shipley Lofts at 701 Shipley Street. The event will feature drawing, painting, sculpture, photography, video, and live performance.
The Delaware Fringe Festival, that's an example of a new and innovative arts offering that not everyone really knows about. And this happens all the time. You attend a concert or an opera or an art show or a festival that you heard about on WRTI. You might buy a CD of a new piece of music because you just can't get it out of your head. You heard it on the radio and it's just going over and over in your head. You make connections in your life every day that have at least one thing in common. They start with the music you hear on WRTI or the arts programming, the information. Listener support helps keep WRTI connected to you, and you can provide that listener support. Think about what this means to you each and every day and call 1-866-809-9784 or go online at WRTI.org.
And because you listen every day, that's the reason you should pick up the phone and call 1-866-809-9784 right now. You'll be saying thanks for access to all of this great music, all of the programming you hear every day on WRTI. We're looking to you to provide this essential support for WRTI by making, what, say a $10 a month contribution. As our thanks, we'll be happy to send you thank you gifts. You can see those gift selections online at WRTI, or you can talk to the operator when you call 1-866-809-9784.
The process is really simple, really direct. You simply log on to WRTI.org or make the phone call. The most important thing you can do is decide that you are committed to the music and you are committed to WRTI as the source for all of this wonderful music. Centuries of music at the touch of a button because of member support. Why don't you make the pledge right now? Make the call. 1-866-809-9784. 1-866-809-9784 or go online to WRTI.org.
And think about the things that you value that are part of each and every day, the things that you have to pay for. Maybe it's your morning cup of coffee or your magazine subscription or tickets to movies or theater. This is something that you value and that you get every day, as Jim says, at the touch of a button, and you decide what you pay for that. You decide how you're going to support that. You decide whether to support it. We're hoping if you're listening right now, you value the music. Why not take that little step from listener to valued member by calling 1-866-809-9784 or going online at WRTI.org.
And this is really an investment in the history of music and in the future of the availability of that music. And, you know, people make investments for many different reasons. Usually they want a financial return. In this instance, your return is in the form of the music on the radio. And this is an opportunity for you to do something great for yourself, for your family, your neighbors, for your community. A positive return for everybody. It's that type of investment. Your gift to WRTI makes it possible for you and everyone else who listens to hear quality music 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. When you invest in WRTI, there's no doubt you'll get a positive return with access to the music, the entertainment and information that you can depend on. Take a few moments right now to make a solid investment decision. Become a member or renew your membership in WRTI. 1-866-809-9784, online at WRTI. Whatever way you choose to do it, the most important thing is that you make the decision, make the commitment right now. 1-866-809-9784. Or online at WRTI.org.
It's a really simple equation. If you believe that the arts matter, if you believe that music matters, if you depend on the music, if you value it, if it's something that you really can't imagine living without and it's part of your daily life, now's your chance to support that music. Contribute because you listen. Music touches every part of your life. If it's important to you, now's the time to step up and support that music. Help keep it on the air for you, for your neighbors, and for future generations. 1-866-809-9784 is the phone number. The website again is WRTI.org.
And that's our program for this week. You can find an archive of past shows and subscribe to our podcast at WRTI.org. Creatively Speaking's theme music is by Bill Jolly, orchestrated by Tim Ribchester, and performed by Symphony at Sea under its music director, Rossin Milanoff. The program's production associate is Eric Brannan. Our executive producer is Jack Moore, and I'm Jim Cotter. Thanks for listening.
Creatively Speaking is a production of WRTI in Philadelphia. Support for the program comes from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts and the listeners of WRTI.